Brian, what's up?
What's up, Chase?
How you feeling?
I am feeling a lot better right now than I did about 10 minutes ago.
Good. I'm
How
glad
are
to
you?
Hear that. It's
because
it's showtime. I'm glad. I'm feeling great. It's Friday. Marquise is feeling good at the studio, so I'm excited. I'm excited about another great day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tommy Glavin in the bullpen as he gets ready to go tonight for game night at 6 o'clock on our Facebook Live. Just go to the Game Nashville. That's our Facebook page. Like it because you'll get updates, and then you can watch Facebook Live starting at 6 o'clock with yours truly and the GOAT, Tom Glavin.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I know you are ecstatic about this game night. You know, you've done a good job with Nate Washington. You've done a good job with Lorenzo Neal and Joe Dubin, but this one hits close to home for you.
Will you be surprised if you log on and you just see me decked out in my Braves gear?
Oh, I was just about to say, you're going to be full-blown. You're going to have your Braves jersey on. You're going to have your Braves hat on.
What's this? Oh, this? Oh, I was wearing this earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're going to have your Braves boxers on, but hopefully we don't have to see those on game night either.
Yeah, I know. No, you won't see those. Don't worry. But I will say this before we actually get into the things we're going to talk about. So I was this week, it's been a pennant week for the Braves. And I would assume that the Reds have done the same thing in Cincinnati. But because they showed the World Series last week, I guess it was, the 95 World Series. And so they've been showing now all the big clinchers for the 90s Braves in the pennant games in the NLCS. So last night was 1999. Fantastic game, fantastic series against the Mets. Goes extra innings. They win on a walk-off walk. That's how they win the NLCS, was a walk. And so, I you know, I'm sitting there watching this game, and I was texting you, and I was getting pissed off as I was watching the game. And you may be asking why. I mean, they won. Well, because they got swept by the Yankees in the World Series. And I'm still... And that was 1999. So I knew exactly what was going on. I was all in on baseball then. That wasn't I don't remember that. I remember that. And I had a teacher that was from New York and a huge Yankees fan. And she came the day after they won the World Series. I vividly remember this. She comes up to me. I'm in sixth grade. And she's like, "Hey, Chase, could you hand me my broom?" And she put her Yankees hat on. And I'm
oh,
like, come
my
on.
Gosh. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. So.
So did 12-year-old Chaser cry when the Braves got swept by the Yankees?
I didn't cry, but I was mad. I was upset because I was all excited. Like, here we go, they're back at it, and they had a lot of obstacles that year. I mean, Javi Lopez got hurt. That was when Eddie Perez really shined and took over for Javi Lopez. Warlers went down early. Two games, and so that was when John Rocker was the closer.
John Rocker.
Oh, I know. It was right before he, took his stupid pills. But
well, didn't Mets fans throw batteries at John Rocker?
I think they did, yeah. I think that's right, which is such a Mets thing to do. but yeah, so John Rocker was on that team, but I was Brett Boone. Like, I forgot all about Brett Boone.
Brett Boone, former Cincinnati Red. Brett Boone.
That was a trade. That's how they got him. They made a trade with the Reds.
Brett Boone, I believe, was on that Seattle Mariners team that won like 150 games with Ichiro. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 150. I'm exaggerating, but I think Brett Boone was on that team.
He might have been. I don't know. But so, yeah, so he was there.
So
here's a funny one for you. Two players on that team for the Braves became managers. Izzy Guillen, Walt Weiss.
Interesting.
Yeah, Walt Weiss was the shortstop, and Izzy, I think, was an outfielder. But
and one is a lot more interesting of a character than the other.
Yes, very much so.
So I've got a question for you.
Okay.
When is the last time that you cried over a sporting event?
Well, probably around the same era, because I did cry when the Titans lost the Super Bowl.
But you're a Cowboys fan.
No, don't start that. But yeah.
I'm going to start it. Now, you cried when... Okay, so you are a diehard Cowboys fan, and you cried when when the Titans lost the Super Bowl, you cried?
I did. I've explained this, though.
Please do.
I was born into a family that were Cowboys fans. there was not a professional football team in this city. So I became a Cowboys fan. When the Titans got here, I naturally, because they were the hometown team, became a fan of them too. But I did not get rid of my loyalties with Dallas. So I guess I claim both, which I know is, oh, how dare you? How dare you be a fan of both? Who are you going to cheer for if they play in the Super Bowl? Well, you know, I haven't had to worry about that. So,
and you probably won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm not really all that concerned that that's going to happen anytime soon. Because usually when one's good, the other one's not.
Well, it could happen in the next couple of years. You never
it
know.
Could.
Maybe we've stumbled upon our quarantine question of the day for our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. When is the last time that you cried over a sporting event?
Okay. I like it. Put that out there.
So mine would be – so I shouldn't cry over a sporting event when I'm 23 years old, but I did.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I was 12.
You were 12, and I have no shame over this. When the Reds lost to the Giants in the 2012 NLDS, and they blew the 2-0 series lead and lost three games within a span of like 48 hours, it felt like. Like, I was so invested in that 2012 Cincinnati Reds team. Watched every single game. I didn't have a life that summer. All I did was watch Reds baseball.
I remember this.
They were up 2-0 on the Giants, and then Buster Stinkin' Posey hits a grand slam in Game 5 in Cincinnati, and the Giants win that series, and the Reds made a little bit of a comeback late in that game, and they were making it interesting in the bottom of the ninth, and then Scott Rolen strikes out to end the series, and I did cry. So I didn't bawl, but I cried.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I like I said, I was 12. I don't think I bawled, but I just remember I did have tears. So, you know, there's that. And I cried when Dale Earnhardt died, but that's a little different.
Well, that is absolutely different.
Yeah.
I mean, like
your hero dies, you know, I think it's okay.
Sure. Sure. If it's something emotional, then yes, I think it's okay to show that emotion. But if you're crying over your team losing, then I think that's definitely different.
Well, so that's our question on Twitter of when was the last time you cried during a sporting event? There won't be fans in the stands crying this year. At least it appears that way for the NFL.
Oh, what a segue.
Appears that way. I'm a professional. It appears that way for the NFL, but... And we kind of touched on this yesterday, but then we got Hal Gill, so we got off track with it. But it appears that the NFL is looking at possibly pumping in crowd noise if they don't have fans. Joe Buck, who is the lead announcer for the NFL on Fox, was on SiriusXM with Andy Cohen and said it's pretty much a done deal, and there's more.
Going into this season coming up, and that comes with a huge asterisk, and hopefully there is a season, there's probably going to be a season in doing games with no fans, which will be difficult. I think Fox and these networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as
do you think normal they'll do that?
Viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I really? Think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it, and they are to the
that's,
point
that's
now
the conversation right now.
That's it's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands. So when you see a wide shot, it looks like the stadium's jam-packed.
Joe Buck, Fox NFL on SiriusXM, and he said that the way he set that up is that Fox would pump in the crowd for TV. I think that's absolutely stupid if they do that. I'm just saying that is stupid.
Absolutely stupid? Why?
Absolutely stupid.
Why?
Because, well, he pointed out you'd have to have somebody that's really good at their job because you want it to make sense. And I just don't see how you can do that. The game happens so fast that – are you going to have, I mean, Marquise knows what we're talking about. You and I know what we're talking about. Do you have hotkeys that you just, oh, okay, touchdown crowd, interception crowd. I mean, you have to be quick. Like, how are you going to do that and make it work? I mean, It's just I don't see it. I don't see it working. I think it's a stupid idea. Please don't do it. And just let's all accept that there's not going to be fans there, and you just have to get used to it like you have with anything else.
So I don't think it's as bad as what you're saying. I do think it's
stupid.
Maybe I do think it's maybe a better idea in theory or in writing than it will be in actuality. But here's the reason why I don't think they should do this is because the fact that there will be no fans in the stands when sports return is going to be such a big story within, it's going to be a huge subplot to the games themselves, that you're going to be playing in front of empty stadiums with no crowd, like no crowd noise. You know, you're going to be able to hear trash talk going on the field or on the ice. That to me is fascinating, and I think a lot of people think that's fascinating, and you might get people to watch sporting events, you know, that may not watch just your normal Reds versus Tigers game in the middle of July, but they might watch just to see what it's like without fans. So I think just from that point of view, I think I don't think they should do this. Maybe it turns out better than what we're thinking. But I don't think it's going to feel real at all. And I think you have to go in knowing that if you're Fox or if you're another network that's going to try this. But, you know, having basically video game fans in the stands for a real game, just it feels so odd.
Well, let me say this. The product that Fox puts on, I like. And I like most of their announcers. You've heard me just gush about Kevin Burkhardt. I'm one of those people that I like Joe Buck. And I feel like that it's very one way or the other. There's not really a middle ground with Joe Buck. You either love him or you don't. But I do. I like Joe Buck. But I do think Fox sometimes is gimmicky. I feel like that they got the robot football guy that's always been their mascot, and
they had the glowing hockey puck back
then. Yeah, the glow puck. They had that. They had in NASCAR, they had the Gopher Cam, and they actually had like it was an underground camera that goes in the racetrack, and they had a graphic of a gopher popping out and called it the Gopher Cam. I mean, they just everything's kind of gimmicky with them, and it's. I guess it's worked because they keep doing it and they have higher viewership, but I just don't do that because I know fans aren't there. We all know that the fans aren't there. So we don't need to be reminded of that and putting a fake crowd, a digital crowd, virtual crowd, whatever you want to call it, and fake crowd noise. It's just going to remind people, oh, hey, the crowd, there aren't fans there. Just because I've gotten used to it now. I've watched wrestling. I've watched UFC. I'm going to watch NASCAR this weekend without fans. My mind is now, okay, yep, no fans. All right, I'm worried about what's on the field or the track. So it's just stupid to me. It's a silly idea, and I wish that they wouldn't do it. But I am curious of how people feel about it. So 615-737-1025, text us. Do you want to see virtual fans or crowd noise in your sports when they return? I'm very curious of how people would feel about this because you and I are on the, you know, I'm adamant about it, of it's a dumb idea, don't do it. You just don't think it's a good idea and just leave it how it is with no fans. But I want to know how everybody else feels. So 615-737-1025.
And you feel that way because you don't think it's going to be effective.
And it's going to make it look fake.
Right.
It is fake.
Right. I feel that way because the fact that no fans will be in the stands is a huge storyline, and I think people would be interested to see what it looks and sounds like.
Well, I'm just curious of what the fans think. So we will continue to talk about that. We'll take your texts, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next and much more here on The Rundown ESPN. Tune in next Friday, May 22nd at noon, for Game 6 Remastered, chronicling the Predators' historic 2017 Western Conference title win against the Anaheim Ducks. You'll hear Pete Weber's call of the biggest moments of Game 6, an exclusive insight into the Predators' memorable playoff run from the individuals that lived it. That's Game 6 Remastered, Friday, May 22nd at noon on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Very, very cool project that, Ryan, you have pretty much put this together. You have been the guy just organizing all of this, but it's been fun to be a part of some of the interviews that I did. Really excited to see how it all turns out. So you're going to enjoy this next Friday at noon.
Well, and there's a lot of untold stories through this. You know, we all lived it, whether you were a fan, a media member, or on the ice, in the press box, whatever. Everyone lived it, but it's always fun to go back and reflect on what I would say is probably one of the top two or three moments or nights in Nashville sports history. I mean, that's right up there with the Titans going to the Super Bowl back in January of 2000, and that's the only other time, you know, a professional sports team here in this city has made it to the championship round. And, you know, I think one of the biggest differences between that night for the Titans of going down to Jacksonville and winning the AFC championship was that that was a road game. Yes, it's great to win that game and go to the Super Bowl, but there, you know, there was something just special that you can't really put into words about them doing it at Bridgestone Arena in the fashion that they did with their backs against the wall with the injuries that they had. So a lot of untold stories. David Poyle, Sean Henry, Austin Watson, Colton Sissons, Ryan Johansson, they're all a part of it. Pete Weber's going to narrate it. You know, particularly Ryan Johansson talking about, you know, what he experienced in that Western Conference final with the injury that knocked him out for the rest of the postseason. That stuff is phenomenal. Johansson, you know, his insights on that entire playoff run and the conference final was really, really interesting to hear. And I know Preds fans are really going to dig this. It's basically going to be, you know, a mixture of the play-by-play and these insights and these interviews that we've gotten here in the last couple weeks, and just kind of meshing it all together. We've replayed Game 6 many times before on the air, but never in a fashion like this.
I think you need to be hosed off after that. I can tell you're excited.
Dude, I'm excited.
Yeah. You're pumped. You are pumped for that.
And so I'm basically going to be spending all weekend putting this together.
Yeah, I know. Next Friday at noon here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we asked the question on our text line, 615-737-1025, of if you'd be okay with virtual fans or crowd noise when you watch sports when they return. And several of you have weighed in. Corey in Bellevue, I don't want to see virtual fans, but I would not mind some crowd noise. The sound will help energize the atmosphere and emotion for fans at home watching. It'll help us get more attached to the game. Otherwise, it's going to feel like watching training camp practice to me. That's Corey. Josh, I'm excited to watch some games with no fans because I think it will be super cool to hear the raw sound of the game and the trash talk too. Virtual fans may not make me watch, honestly.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Interesting. Well, to his point of hearing the trash talk, imagine what it would have been like in the 2017 postseason if we got to hear Ryan Johansson and Ryan Kesler go at it.
Yeah, oh, that would be fantastic.
And we might be able to hear some of that. Also, the networks would probably have to be on a little bit more of a delay.
Yeah, even though if it's on cable, I mean, they're letting that stuff fly now. So,
not to the degree that we would like them to, but I see your point.
The Last Dance, I mean, there have been F-bombs and all that stuff.
There have been.
Yeah, so another one. This is a no-name. The NFL is going to look like – this is bad. The NFL is going to look like a Vandy football game. No fans.
Oh, no.
And the last time I cried at a football game was December 24th, 2016, when Marcus Mariota broke his leg. Yeah, he's with the Raiders now. So, Ben, I agree with both of you for the initial games, but just like everything else, we get used to things. After we get used to it, I think it will make the experience better to have a fake crowd noise rather than the awkwardness. It's more of a long-term solution. The beginning will be weird either way. I understand that thought process, but I just disagree. I have a feeling that I won't get over virtual fans. Crowd noise, I probably would get used to. I'd get over that. But every time there's a wide shot and there's a maddened crowd, as you called it, I'll probably just make fun of them on Twitter and be like, this is stupid. Why are they doing this?
Well, Nate,
that's nothing.
I believe it was Nate on Twitter who tweeted us yesterday a link to what's happening in the Bundesliga soccer club in Germany. Did you read this?
What he sent us.
So there's...
I read one thing that he sent me and he got blasted for, but I didn't see that one.
So fans can pay about $20 or 19 euros for a cutout of themselves to be placed within the stadium, within seats, so that when the players are on the field, it looks like there's fans in the stands.
Hmm. Now that's interesting.
So there have already been in one stadium there in Germany, there's already been more than 4,500 cutouts of different fans of that team within the stadium, and there's already another 12,000 ordered by the club. So that is certainly interesting. That is thinking outside the box.
Here's another one from William, and I'll see. This is a good one. I'll see what you think about this. Do what AEW, which is a wrestling company, Ryan, All Elite Wrestling, did, and have team personnel spread throughout the arena or stadium cheering. So what AEW has done for their broadcasts on Wednesday nights is the people that are there that are working, and even some of the other wrestlers, they have them kind of around ringside in seats cheering to add somewhat of a crowd and have some of a reaction. It's not a lot of people, but there's some reaction going on. I don't know if I would really care as much for an NFL game, because if you have that, you know, a handful of people in a giant stadium, then I don't think you're really going to hear anything. But that's an idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've also heard some whispers about teams. Maybe when we're trending in the right direction, maybe we can't have a full stadium or arena, but it can be partially full. With different fans, you know, maybe it's 25% full and there's, you know, physical distancing within the stadium or the arena. But I don't know how teams are going to go for that, because how does a front office tell a season ticket holder, hey, you're not invited to this game, but you are invited to that game?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
It is absolutely a slippery slope. Even though, you know, 25% of the stadium or arena full is better than 0%, but I don't know how you can make that fair for the fans.
615-737-1025 on our text line. Do you want virtual fans on your TV broadcast or crowd noise? We want to hear from you. A lot of you have weighed in. Nate from Nashville said to what you were talking about with his tweet, the money raised in Germany is going towards charity. So that's cool.
That's great.
Yeah. And that's an idea. That's an idea that you could do, because then it's for a good cause. So I'd be behind that 100%. So I love the differing opinions on this. This is one of those topics that I felt like there would be differing opinions. I was pretty strong about it, and I still am. Don't do it, because I it doesn't do anything for me. That's just me. But I am curious what everybody thinks. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it would just feel odd if it was a mix of real life football and then video game fans.
Wouldn't work for the SEC, because it just means more, and that's not more.
Wow,
that's less. Not my best, but
well,
it was worth a lot better, Chase. It was worth a shot. When we come back, we're going to have some fun on a Friday. We've done some drafts, and we're going to do another draft. Marquise is going to get in on this. Video games, sports video games. We're going to draft those.
Video game franchises.
Franchises, I should say. Video game franchises. When we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown. Enter the ESPN The Game Nashville's uniform drawing contest for a chance to win a sports jersey from the Nashville Predators, Nashville SC, Nashville Sounds, Vanderbilt, or MTSU. All you have to do is download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your chance to win. On Monday, we need you to help us decide who wins by voting on the top three uniforms from each category: hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winner getting a jersey. For more details and to enter, just visit thegamenashville.com. Now, can you dig that? Welcome back into the Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is time once again to do one of our drafts, the sports video game franchises all time.
What we're going with all time.
Yes. So I have my wish list. We have our draft order. Marquise Munson has the first pick. Ryan, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say thanks to our friends at fantasyfootballnerd.com. The random draft order did have Marquise getting the first pick, Chase the second pick, and yours truly the third pick.
Yeah, it's about time I get a first pick in here. I don't know how many times I got to tank the show in order to get a first round pick. I always end up falling short in the lottery, I guess, but whatever. I got
Marquise,
the first pick.
You're the first pick in my heart, man.
I appreciate that, man. That is so lovely. That is lovely to hear on a Friday.
Number one in the draft order and in our hearts, Marquise Munson.
Absolutely. But you ain't going to like me after this one because I'm taking with the first overall pick, and anybody who knows me should know that this is going to be the first pick. And that is NCAA football.
I knew you were going to go there.
NCAA football. Anybody who knows me knows I'm all about that college football. So NCAA football, number one in my heart.
So do you still own the NCAA football with, I believe, wasn't it Denard Robinson? Or, is it Denard Robinson from Michigan on the cover?
Yeah.
That sounds right, yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, so I used to do that, and this is back when – you know, new games were coming out. I used to always sell the year's edition to get the new one, like put it in store credit. But apparently when I sold the new one, that was the old one. That was the last one that they ever made. So,
okay.
But I can always get it. There's ways, you know, ways. Google's your best friend. You can easily search NCAA football and find a copy.
So I actually sold my copy on eBay. So when my Xbox 360 got the three rings of death, and that was probably like the fifth time that it received the three rings of death, and I had already sent it back to Xbox many times, I said, screw it, I am getting my money back for NCAA football, and I sold it on eBay for like $80.
Oh, you're one of those people.
This would have been like 2 years ago.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for doing that. But yeah, because I've looked, and I don't have a 360 anymore, but I've looked, and you can get a lot of money for it, or there are people getting a lot of money for that video game. So that's a good pick by Marquise. So that brings it to me with the second overall pick and my first pick in the sports video game franchise draft. Give me NBA Jam.
Oh, okay. I was not expecting you to go with NBA Jam.
I know. Just when you think you have all the answers, Ryan, I changed the questions.
Just so you know, Chase, you could have had NBA Jam with the fifth overall pick.
Probably. But I took it.
Okay. So with the third overall pick in the sports video game franchise draft, I will take Madden. How can you not go with Madden?
Yeah, you can have that game.
I mean, I'm surprised Madden is still on the board here at the third overall pick. And you know what? I'm going to stay in football because sometimes you want a break from, you know, the real life.
Oh, don't you do it.
Football, Madden. Sometimes you want a break from that and you want to go crazy. You want to have an arcade game. So with the fourth overall pick, I'm taking NFL Blitz.
That's a good one.
Were you going to take that, Chase?
I was. That was gonna be the next pick.
Okay.
But that's okay.
All right.
For me, I will go with MLB The Show.
All right. I like it. I wasn't going to take that. So good.
I love me MLB The Show, but I wasn't going to take it that high.
That's a bold strategy,
you know,
there, Chase. Let's see how it works out.
You're being Mel Kiper over there, and I don't like it. Stop being Mel Kiper about my draft.
Yeah, these are his games.
I'd rather be Mel Kiper than Todd McShay.
All right, go ahead. So with my next pick, I am going to, and this is once again, a very obvious choice since it's still on the board. I'm going to go NBA 2K.
I knew you were going to do that.
I was playing NBA 2K before all y'all. I was playing ESPN basketball when Allen Iverson was on the cover of it. I was playing the 2Ks when Shaq was on the cover. I stopped buying NBA Live, I think, in 05 when Carmelo was on the cover. I think that was my last one. I think I bought the one with D-Wade, too, just because D-Wade was on the cover. But I'm going NBA 2K. That is my all-time great basketball game outside of NBA Jams, which was taken.
Okay. All right. I can respect that. That was on my list for the next round. So, Marquise, you get another pick.
Oh, I do. And with this pick, I'm going to stick to NBA, and I'm going to go NBA Street.
I know. That's a good one. I had a little bit of a phase of NBA Street back in my middle
NBA
school
Street
days.
Is very underrated. Like, Stretch is like the greatest player of all time. Like, Stretch, it's like Michael Jordan, and like Stretch is like maybe like a tad bit below Jordan. Stretch was awesome. He was basically Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, if you really look at him, but that was one of my favorite games growing up, for sure.
Okay.
I think this next pick is a value pick.
I think I know where you're going here.
And the fact that it's still... I'm a little surprised that it's still here. Give me Tiger Woods PGA Tour.
Oh. Mm. Okay. I was not expecting you to go that route.
You thought I was going somewhere else.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
Nope.
I can respect that.
I love that game. Especially the one that came out that had Augusta.
Which was what, like 2012?
Yeah, something like that. And I've played it since, you know, they put Rory's name on it, and I was like, yeah, it's just not the same.
Have y'all played the PGA Tour 2K?
No.
Justin Thomas is on the cover of whatever they're calling it. It's like PGA Tour 2K21
so that's
or
new?
Whatever.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that was out.
Yeah, I just saw that yesterday.
Well, I might have to look into that.
All right, so with my pick here, I was going to take Tiger Woods with one of these next two picks. Thank you, Chase. I will take the EA Sports franchise of NHL, and this goes back to NHL 94 and every version since then. NHL has always been a solid choice for gaming, and shout out to Ziggs, former program director of 102.9 The Buzz, our sister rock station. We teamed up and won the NHL tournament that the Preds put on, and donated $5,000 to the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. So I have to take NHL there. And instead of going with Tiger Woods Golf with this next pick, I have to go back to possibly my favorite baseball game of all time, and it is MVP Baseball.
Oh, okay.
So, give me MVP Baseball. The one with Manny Ramirez on the cover was a baseball game that changed baseball video games forever. So, give me MVP Baseball.
Is this my last pick?
This is your last pick.
Okay. This is one where I was hoping it was still going to be there, because I was going to take it with my last pick. Hi, I'm Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play baseball. Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball was my favorite back in the day on the SNES.
Mm. Okay.
You didn't have that on your list?
I did not have it on my list.
I didn't have it.
I know Robbie Stanley would have it on his list.
I didn't have a baseball game on my list at all.
I love that game.
Really?
Yeah. Nope.
Are you just not a fan, Marquise, of...
No, if it was one, it would have been MLB The Show. So, and that was taken. So that was, nah. I'm good on baseball games. It's all about football and basketball to me.
Okay.
Except for this last pick.
Oh. All right. So which game are you taking with your last pick?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am picking with my last pick a cult classic. I'm going Tony Hawk Pro Skater with my final pick. Probably one of the most underrated sports franchise video games of all time, and by far the greatest soundtrack of a video game in the history of video games.
I'm going to dispute that.
No.
I am going to dispute
Tony
that.
Hawk Pro Skater soundtracks were amazing.
I want to say it was NBA 2K 13 or 14 where they had Jay-Z all over the soundtrack. That one was the best soundtrack.
No. Put it on a poll. I'm telling you. Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack, that is what that game is known for, is its soundtrack and how awesome that game is.
Also, and Madden NFL 2004 had a great soundtrack. How can you diss Bubba Sparks like that?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, Bubba Sparks. Did you guys like NFL Fever at all?
NFL Fever?
Yeah, that was on an Xbox only. When the original, I don't know if either one of you had played the original Xbox. When the original Xbox came out, they had their own NFL game. And Peyton was on the cover for like the first two. And it was fun, but because it came with my Xbox, but then Madden was so much better. I don't know if you, I didn't know if you guys remembered that or not.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's a thing. Look,
you're
up.
Getting a lot of crickets right now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're getting beat up on the text line.
Uh-oh.
By a couple of people because
are we?
None of us took Tecmo Bowl. It's kind of before our time.
It is. Our time.
I'm talking about games that I like ran to the store to buy.
I know, and I'm going to add, because I'm keeping a track of this too, because I'm going to bring this up with Darren and Willie, because I have a feeling Tecmo Bowl is going to come up, but I don't, I probably played it, but it's before my time.
I mean, I did play it because, I had a Super Nintendo, I was a Raider fan, so of course I played it, but it's not like I was a kid when I played it. These games were like, adolescence is what you remember most about your life. All four of these games that I picked are like the games that I played the most out of any games. And like every year I would buy an NCAA football. Every year I'd buy a Tony Hawk Pro Skater, especially when they went underground. That was awesome. And they created a story. Yeah. You get to sign with a skate team and all this other cool stuff. That was cool to me. And, you know, NBA Street, obviously. And these are just games that I just played. Another underrated game I was going to pick, if I had five, I was going to put NFL 2K.
Yeah, which NFL 2K was good.
Which was a lot better than Madden, because it was more realistic.
Yo, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they had the deal with ESPN, like Wingo was on it. And, it was cool.
Yeah, T.O. was on the cover of the very last one that they had. It was on Dreamcast, and like Randy Moss was on the cover. I think Brian Urlacher was on the cover of one. Which Brian Urlacher on a video game is scary.
I never played NFL 2K. I've been a Madden guy.
It was solid.
That's why everybody started gravitating towards 2K, because 2K's games were more realistic playing wise. Like Madden's too easy. Like
there was
easy.
What do you mean Madden's too easy?
Madden's too easy.
What do you mean by that?
All you got to do is just press circle to a wide receiver. That's your top wide receiver, and he's catching it.
Yeah,
it's like it's easy. 2K, it was a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and there was for N64, I had NFL Quarterback Club. Remember that one?
See, I didn't have N64, so I don't remember that one.
You guys don't remember any of these. So that was one. So some honorable mentions, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I had that as possible. FIFA, even though like I'm not, you know, I'm not like a diehard FIFA video game player. I like FIFA. Like I've played it. You know, FIFA is a fun game.
That was on my list.
So that was one that was out there. Marquise had said the NFL 2K franchise. I'm surprised that I didn't, you know, and I love the NASCAR games, but there's always been something missing. But I'm surprised that Marquise, there wasn't a wrestling game brought up.
Yeah, I thought about SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. That was probably my favorite one. It was either, because I had a toss up between, like, with when I had Tony Hawk Pro Skater, it was either Tony Hawk Pro Skater, SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, NFL 2K, or Ready to Rumble Boxing, which was a hilarious game. So those were like my four options, but I was like, I probably bought more Tony Hawk games. Then it was kind of like a toss-up between SmackDown and Tony Hawk. And I end up going with Tony Hawk, because you can't go wrong with Tony Hawk.
We'll tweet out our draft picks for the video game franchise, and you can weigh in as well at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. When we come back, there are sports this weekend, Ryan. And it's my favorite one. We will discuss when we come back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about that? Then Free Business Friday, which is today, is for you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. From your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're full up for today, but you can get in the kitty for next week as well. So just go to thegamenashville.com for more information. Welcome back into the Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. Ryan, I know you had a quick video game story that you wanted to share before we move on.
So very quickly, I drafted MVP baseball in our draft last segment. Maverick, get out of here.
Hi, Mav.
And before EA Sports baseball franchise became MVP baseball, it was Triple Play. So my brother owned, or he didn't own, he was the manager of a place called CD Game Exchange in Cincinnati, where they had a lot of new and used video games and CDs. And when Triple Play 99 came out with Alex Rodriguez on the cover, I wanted that game so bad. And my mom and I went to the store when my brothers were working there, and I was like begging my mom to get me that game. I was like 8 or 9 years old at the time, and she would not buy me the game, and I was just irate. So I went out kicking and screaming. I literally kicked the door on the way out of the store. Luckily, the glass did not break, but I was so mad. So my brother then brings it home like a week or two later and gives it to me. And I take the disc out of the box of Triple Play, and the disc snaps in half.
Wow.
And I was so disappointed. I was just like heartbroken that that Triple Play was not going to work.
So what'd you do? Take it back? And
honestly, I don't remember. All I remember is the sadness that overcame me.
I get to see that look on your face too. Just like little 9-year-old Ryan just standing there holding his broken disc.
You know who was probably more upset than me was probably my mom, because I really ticked off my mom when I went out kicking and screaming. So,
well, hey, it serves you right for pitching a temper tantrum and then the game breaks.
So that's my quick story.
Karma, man. That's what happened. All right, so sports returning this weekend. By the way, Adam in Portland says, you played NBA Jam, but not Tecmo Bowl. Inexcusable. Also, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was the greatest game ever. You guys have disappointed me. So Adam is upset with us.
Hey, man, buy your own video games, dog.
I think
if I want to pay $50 for NBA Street, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay $50 for NBA Street. If I want to listen to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater soundtrack and play and, you know, hit some – I don't even know what they call those half of those tricks. But anyway, I'll pay for it.
You know what we're not going to pay for? Juwan Jennings, NFL Football 2020.
Oh, that's right. That's at Porth Game. At Porth Game on Twitter. Oh, there you go. So sports. There's some coming back this weekend. NASCAR is going to kick or restart their season, I should say, at the Darlington Raceway. They're going to do that Sunday afternoon. No fans. It's a one-day show. No practice in qualifying. They actually drew for the lineup yesterday. So Brad Keselowski will be on the pole, Alex Bowman on the outside. So that's your front row. So they already have the starting lineup. And NASCAR announced yesterday their additional races. Starting May 30th, they will be at the Bristol Motor Speedway for the Xfinity Series. The Cup Series will be the next day. Then they will go to Atlanta. They'll do a midweek race, Cup race at Martinsville. They'll make up the races at Homestead, Miami the following weekend. And then after that, the Talladega Super Speedway. A lot of double headers with the Xfinity Series and Truck Series, or Xfinity Series and Cup Series, all running on the same day. So NASCAR has their schedule at least through June 21st. So they are good to go and going to be starting this weekend. The broadcasts will be on Fox. They will have one pit reporter and Regan Smith, he will be there. And then Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, and Jeff Gordon will actually do the race from the Charlotte studio, so they will not be at the racetrack. So that's NASCAR coming back this weekend.
What time is that Sunday?
That is a 2:30 Central Time start on Fox.
Might have to tune in.
Oh, really? Just to see something.
Just to see live sports.
There you go. Just to see what... What was funny is I was tweeting about this yesterday. I was looking at the lines. They have no way to set these. I mean, it's just a blind draw. I mean, they set Kyle Busch as like a plus 500 favorite. And, I mean, they haven't raced in 2 months. There's no practice. There's nothing. So,
and you have no idea where Kyle Busch is going to start.
Yeah, well, you do now. I just closed that. But, yeah, they did a draw for the starting lineup. Kyle Busch will start fourth.
Okay.
So he's starting fourth, but again, it's really hard to tell and how it's all going to work out. So
I'm going to ask a dumb question. How much does the poll actually matter?
Not a lot. I mean, you see how well your car runs in clean air. So that's important. The higher you start, the better pit stall you get. You get to select your pit stall. And so that helps, but it doesn't matter where you start. I mean, it a lot of times I'd have to go look up the stat, but pole winners do win the race, but it doesn't always happen that way. It's usually somebody deeper in the field and you tune your car as you go. So I wouldn't, it's just not that big of a deal in my opinion. Never has been.
Okay.
Also on Sunday, The Last Dance, the last dance, the last two episodes. So sad to see it end, but excited to see how it ends.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Bulls versus Utah Jazz in this episode with Karl Malone and John Stockton for the Jazz. Be interesting to hear. You know, we heard Gary Payton's perspective last week. It'll be interesting to see if any of those Utah Jazz members are a part of this. And what they have to say, and if they show Michael Jordan the iPad with their reactions again, it'll be cool to see them finally tie the knot on this deal.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And spoiler, they're gonna win. They're gonna win the championship.
You think so?
Yeah. I just
funny got a hunch.
I do wonder if they'll. We talked about this yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase as we wrap this up. I wonder if they'll show any of the Wizards stuff when he came back with the Wizards. I guess you got to address it. I mean, it's a part of his story.
But I'm going to predict that it's like the last 3 to 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, I could see that. Just kind of what happened after the fact with everybody. Mm-hmm. So with The Last Dance, Sunday night on ESPN, 8 o'clock. It'll be a lot of fun. That's going to do it for this week's rundown. Stick around, though. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.